Good morning again. I would like to talk this morning about a little bit about Amos, this day of the Lord, and then about the 10 bridesmaids that I hope you register as, you know, sending a little jolt of anxiety through you. You know, the door is shut and you've missed your chance and you're outside and the party's inside. Which, I mean, how many of us have ever felt like that? I'm outside and the party is inside. And then I want to talk some about sports, which I think will connect, but you never know. So, Amos, the day of the Lord. You heard it referenced, the day of the Lord, in our first hymn. And the day of the Lord in Jewish sensibility was sort of the day of reckoning, but it was meant to be a positive thing for Israel. It was because Israel was, they were God's chosen people. And so it was a time when this covenanted relationship was to be fulfilled, and especially when Israel's historical troubles would be rectified. You know, they were oppressed, they were occupied, they got deported into Babylonian slavery, and then the Romans were occupying Jerusalem and Palestine. So the day of reckoning was to come, and it was to be supportive and in a sense vindicating of Israel. And Amos says, not so fast. Do you really want that day of reckoning? Do you really want that day of reckoning? And as I said down at St. John's, think of it sort of like a teenage party, a bunch of 15-year-olds down in the basement, the rec room. Lights are low, lights are out, and then suddenly Dad comes down, snaps the lights on, finds out who's been making out, who's been smoking pot, who's been drinking, you know, okay, lights out, lights on, you know, and the day of reckoning is sort of like that, when the lights come on. And Amos said, you don't want the lights to come on quite yet, because you're too hypocritical. You're too hypocritical. Then Amos launches into what is so typical of that prophetic sensibility, pointing to the discrepancy between religion and life. He says you don't want the lights to come on, and especially you don't want to think that you're doing anything special whatsoever by your religion. Your offerings and your festivals and your songs, none of it means anything, and it's worse than worthless if your lives don't change, says Amos. And that is the prophetic theme. Religion gets in the way unless it leads to changing your life. Religion gets in the way unless it changes your life. Because religion is not about changing God. You know, it's not about, you know, our prayers, our fervent prayers, God up there somewhere going, okay, no smiting today. It's not the way it works. It's to change us. And so Amos was insistent that religion, unless it's changing your life, better just desist. And he says, you don't want this day of the Lord right now because you're too hypocritical. So that's kind of Amos, but it, you know, the day of the Lord, that day of reckoning, it suggests the end of the world, as do the lessons. We're kind of in that time of year where things are, the church year is drawing to a close, and we're talking about, like, Thessalonians. I mean, that this little passage from Thessalonians where Paul talks about being caught up in the air to be with Jesus, I mean, that's given rise to lots of end of the world speculation in our time, the rapture. You know, some people caught up, others left behind. And just a general rule, when you hear people talking about God and the behavior of God seems to mimic the worst behavior of human beings, maybe it's not the right image of God. Maybe. And so this notion of God saying, you're on my team, you're on not, oh no, you're out, you're out, you're out, you're in. again, that strikes me as a little bit too much like fourth grade recess where you didn't get picked for the team and you're left out, only it's cosmically left out. I'm not sure that's what we're really being, we're really meant to hear, and whether it's really consistent with the whole of the gospel message. The 10 bridesmaids seem at first to be out of keeping with this Christian spirit of generosity. Why wouldn't the five wives share with the five foolish virgins? Okay, you can share the share some oil. And I think pretty clearly the intent of this is to remind us of how many things in our lives must be done for ourselves. There are some things you can't give to anybody else. And of course, every parent knows this. There are some things you simply can't give to your kids. They've got to learn certain lessons for themselves. They've got to suffer through some things for themselves. I can't love for my son. I can't live my son's life. I can't do his dying for him. There are so many things that we have to do for ourselves that we can't give to another. And so, in a psychological and spiritual sense, the virgin's refusal to give away their oil makes perfect sense, because you can't give it away. You got to have your own. But still, we're left with the prospect of the five virgins wandering improbably at midnight looking for, you know, a 7-Eleven to get some oil, and coming back and the doors being shut. And it's really that. That's where the connection with athletics. Our fascination with athletics is in many ways spiritual in nature. And it has to do with being in the moment. And athletes, we love athletes who display these remarkable powers of concentration, who are undistracted even though they're about to be hit, or they're about to run into a wall, or the crowd is screaming. They've got one moment to make a free throw. And just to be able to be in that moment and to perform as you are able. So we love it. Now there's another side to that. And it is those athletes that do not step into the moment. That for whatever reason the moment comes, the pass is to be caught, the free throw to be made, the putt to be made. And they don't do it. And that's part of the horrifying fascination. The word, as anybody who has ever been involved in sports knows, the word is choke. And it's about the ugliest thing in the world. I mean, for an athlete, there's hardly anything worse. The other side of it, victory, there's an ode of Pindar from Rome. And he was speaking of Olympic victors. And he says, winning there, you win for yourself and for the rest of your life. Honey sweet calm. It's not true. I mean, victors also lead tormented lives, but there's that sense of, I did it. I stepped into the moment. Now, let's think about, say, Bill Buckner. Don't you guys know Bill Buckner? He was playing first base for the Red Sox, and the Red Sox had never won the World Series in 500 years, and they were just about to win when Bill Buckner lets the squibber go through his legs. When I saw Lynn come in, there was another agonizing but protracted experience of choking in the last America's Cup races, where New Zealand lost 9 straight races to go down in ignominious defeat. It was horrible. Two more examples. One is 25 years ago or so, the Masters tournament. An obscure golfer who never again approached, you know, immortality by winning a major tournament, the Masters, Scott Hoke. Has a 20-inch putt to win the Masters. And he stands over it, and he stands over it a little too long. He You can hear the whispering of the announcer. Oh, Scott just hit the cut. He steps away. He steps back, and everybody knew what was going to happen. He 2 feet past, loses the playoff, retreats into obscurity. Never came that close to winning a major again. Didn't step into the moment. And then I'll feature myself in one. In my skiing career, I used to race some. Went up, you know, got on a hill and ran gates against kids that had been training, and that was our fun. We weren't on a team, but we raced against sanctioned racers to see how many we could beat. And there was a race at Lookout Pass, which was my dad's old ski area, so there's even more to the story. And there's a type of gate called a flush, and you take it one way or you take it the other way, and then you're set up for the gate to follow. And three gates from the end, there was a flush. Have to take it on the uphill side. Have to take it on the uphill side. I got to the moment. I doubted, skated to the wrong side. Second to the last gate, went by me. And I'd been leading the race, but I doubted and went to the wrong side. Now, the only reason I talk about this is I think that many of us harbor some kind of belief that our relationship with God is like that. That we've got a chance, that there's a moment, but if we miss the moment, it's not the ski race or the Masters, it's God, it's heaven. I've got my chance. This is it. Are you gonna be up to it? It can't be that way. Please tell me it can't be that way. Please gather as a community to say it's not like that. That the God of whom it is said, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God made known in Christ Jesus our Lord, is not going to somehow have our eternal faith determined with a moment in an athletic contest. And I want us to acknowledge the degree to which we sometimes think of our relationship like that. We've got a chance, you know. The door, which road will I take? It can't be like that. If Jesus is teaching us to stay awake, it's for this life. Stay awake so you don't miss your life. If you miss your life, it's an unhappy thing. This is a remarkable adventure, but it doesn't have to do with life after death. Most of which, when we talk about it, it's A, we can't imagine it. B, people usually talk about it in terms of some being selected and others being left behind. And it's an ugly spirit that informs that. It's usually a fairly capricious God. It's a moment that, oh my God, is this going to be that moment again for all eternity? And what about those teachings that we are safe, that we are held, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that there's nowhere in all creation that we can go to be apart from God's presence, that everywhere creation is, God is also. To the extent that we're afraid, to the extent that we think we're going to miss the moment of our own life, let's hear those teachings for today. Let's not miss today, this day that the Lord has given, and not think in any way that the afterlife, or that the end of life, or that we're ever going to be put in those terrible situations where in our anxiety and our blindness, we make the wrong decision and all is lost. The ball goes through our legs. The putt goes by the hole. Forever. It's not that way. It's not that way. We're safe. Love God and love your neighbor with all your heart. And don't be afraid. Because